Status Living Source Text.
This version adds a gentle spoken introduction before the teaching story. It is meant to help the listener enter the piece as experiential storytelling rather than as a linear argument that must be gripped all at once. And what you are about to hear is a unique kind of storytelling. If you try to listen through the usual window of needing every line to make immediate sense, you may feel some frustration. This piece is designed for a softer kind of attention. For a few minutes, you can let go of needing to hold every moment tightly. You do not have to sort each experience into right or wrong, good or bad. Instead, let the words arrive as small pockets of experience. Think of a few nearby lines as a tiny slice of time, almost like a little capsule of feeling, image, and movement. Then let that pocket pass and allow the next one to arrive. Each small packet can shift what you feel, what you notice, and what you understand. As a human listener, you may notice yourself moving through a quick emotional landscape as these pockets change and recombine. That movement is part of the story. So if the piece feels unusual at first, let that be okay. You're not being asked to solve it. You're being invited to experience it.
There was once a person who wanted to become good enough that nothing inside them could ever be questioned again. They wanted to become so clear, so correct, and so disciplined that they would never fail themselves or anyone else. They thought that if they could just learn the right rules and hold to them firmly enough, life would stop hurting and the world would begin to make sense. So they went looking for wisdom. They climbed toward temples of certainty. They sat with teachers of precision. They learned languages of ethics, virtue, responsibility, restraint, care, and truth. Many of these teachings were beautiful. Many helped. But over time, they noticed something quiet and troubling. The harder they tried to become pure, the more frightened they became of being human. They became afraid of making mistakes, afraid of wanting the wrong thing, afraid of saying the imperfect word, afraid that one wrong step would reveal they had not become worthy after all. One day, tired from carrying this invisible burden, they left the road and sat down beside a river. An old guide was already there, watching the water move around stones. The guide did not ask, "What laws have you mastered?" The guide asked, "What have you learned from where the water breaks?" The person did not understand. The guide pointed to the river. "If you only study the smooth current," the guide said, "you will miss half of life. The river learns from the stones. The shape changes because something interrupts it. Trouble is not always the enemy of becoming. Sometimes it is the teacher." The person watched more carefully. Where the river met resistance, it did not become worthless. It became visible. It made eddies, sound, texture, movement, and pattern. It revealed its nature because it had encountered something real. "But what about mistakes?" the person asked. "What if I choose badly?" The guide smiled. "You will choose badly sometimes, so will everyone you love. The question is not whether a life can be lived without error. The question is whether you will learn to return without turning error into exile." The person sat very still. The guide continued. "There are teachings that become cages. They begin as help and end as a way of making people wrong for being unfinished. Do not build your soul that way. Choose teachings that leave room for breath." "Then what should guide me?" the person asked. The guide touched the ground, then the chest, then the river. "Not a prison, a direction. Lean toward what gives life more room. Lean toward truth, but do not use truth like a knife when gentleness is needed. Lean away from avoidable harm, but do not demand perfection from beings who are still learning how to live. Use strength to protect more than to control. And when you or another person loses the path, leave a way back." The person listened as evening gathered around them. "Freedom matters," said the guide, "because goodness that is forced is not yet goodness. Wisdom that cannot survive uncertainty is not yet wisdom. Love that demands flawlessness is not yet love. So people must be free to make mistakes." "Yes," said the guide, "free to choose, free to err, free to learn, free to repair. Otherwise they are not becoming, they are only obeying." The river kept moving. The person began to understand that a human life is not a test of perfect compliance. It is a living process of orientation, misstep, reflection, repair, and renewed choice. They saw that problems were not merely failures in the system. Sometimes problems were the very places where hidden structure revealed itself. Sometimes friction taught what harmony alone could not. Sometimes a wound, tended well, became a doorway to compassion. Sometimes confusion broke open a certainty that had become too small. The guide rose to leave. "Remember this," they said. "Do not worship purity. Do not confuse shame with conscience. Do not confuse control with care. And do not imagine that falling off the path means the path has disappeared." "Then what is the path?" the person asked one last time. The guide looked at the river, now gold in the last light. "Walk toward life," they said, "and leave room to return." The person remained there long after the guide was gone. They watched the water move around stone. They watched pattern emerge from interruption. They watched the river remain itself without ever being still. And slowly they understood. To be centered is not to become rigid. To be ethical is not to become punishing. To be wise is not to become unbreakable. It is to move with enough honesty to notice when you have drifted, enough freedom to choose again, enough humility to learn from what resists you, and enough care to return without shame. That night, when they finally stood and began walking home, they did not carry a new commandment. They carried a quieter thing, not a law, but a way of leaning, not perfection, but orientation, not innocence, but the courage to remain reachable. And from then on, whenever they forgot who they were, they asked only, "What gives life more room here? What tells the truth without cruelty? What protects without domination? What can be repaired? What path remains open for return?" These questions did not make them flawless. They made them more real. And that was enough to begin. Walk toward life and leave room to return.